It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
We're talking with Siobhan Scott about the Epstein, the cover-up, and now the release of the files as they will be released now. We'll see as to what extent in the coming days, weeks, months. Who knows how long it's going to take for all this. I don't anticipate a fast drop, but who knows? Anything is possible. Bending the rules of reality seem to be what a lot of people are doing right now in the lead-up to this. We've heard a lot of discussions, people talking about, especially when it gets political, and I'm not going political here at all because I don't care what side you're on. If you're a horrible person, you've done this shit, you need to burn. And that's it. There's nothing political about this. I'm not more excited when I hear a member of this party might be on it or a member of that party. It's like, okay, great. Bring them all up.
Take them down.
But we're starting to see a lot of rationalizing of weird things right now. And I don't know what to make of it, and I don't know that it's all being done intentionally. I want to bring up what was said last week, and she's getting a lot of kickback for it, Megyn Kelly, when she was talking about some of her knowledge of the case from a source that she has. But doubling down on, there's a big difference. And if anybody has not seen the clip, go watch the whole clip. Doubling down on, there's a big difference between a 5-year-old and a 15-year-old when it comes to predatory behavior towards a child. And not just, you know, is a 5-year-old, does they look different? And of course, that's, who would even ask the question? It's like, is the sky blue? Yes, one is older than the other. But neither, it doesn't make a damn bit of difference, I would think, to most people, if there is a predator that's trying to have a sexual relationship with the 5 or the 15-year-old. Same amount of wrong right there. Mm-hmm. Wrong, no, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But it seemed, and this is how I took it, this is how a lot of people took it, it seemed that there was some rationalizing going on when we hit at a certain age, around 15-ish, of like, well, it's predatory, almost. But it's diet predatory. You know, it's predatory light. Yeah. Like, no, there is no predatory light. That's what is going on here, and why are we seeing people try to bend these things right now of all times on this? Why? What the hell is going on where people are trying to rationalize things like this?
I think on some level it's back to, I don't want my guy or my team
to go down. And therefore, they're coming up with anything they can to make it sound like it's not that bad. And in truth, a pedophile is someone who's sexually attracted to pre-puberty children. A hebephile is a person who's attracted to post-puberty children because they're still children at 13, 14, 15. But that's a particular kind of paraphilia where this is the individual's primary sexual attraction. It is still wrong. It is still an incredible power imbalance. A 13, 14, 15-year-old is not capable of giving informed consent. Right. And it's terrifying to hear somebody go on national television and try to say, well, it's not pedophilia, so it's okay. And sure, you can break it into hebephilia. That's still a crime. It's still wrong. It's still pathological.
I want to say that's the first time I've heard that term.
And she wasn't arguing the terms. You know, it was that was what kind of got me about it. I mean, it wasn't like, well, that's technically this. I mean, of course, we can. Okay, well, that is technically this and that. I get that. But it's the normalization. It's the rationalization of it. And that's where I'm. And I don't know. I mean, the other thing that was coming to mind in no way, shape or form, I don't know anything about her, and I don't know what her past is, and I don't know where her history is, and I'm not saying it this at all, but could there be leakage sometimes when people are rationalizing things like this because of their own traumas of what they've gone through, that people try no matter what, you know, to be healthy, hopefully, and that they've moved on from things and they've healed in certain ways, but that healing looks different for every single person. I'm wondering sometimes when you have people doing those sort of weird rationalizations of, well, you know, I had it hard too in really weird ways like this, is some of that leaking over sometimes? And I don't know specifically here, but when I'm speaking more in general terms with people rationalizing stuff.
It sure could be that. It could also be that they grew up in one of the states that still legalizes child marriage. There's a big movement now. I have friends who are a part of it to basically say, if you're under 18, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, you can't get married. And there are states, I believe Utah was one, where girls as young as 13 could be married and have a marriage license. And so there are probably people from these kind of subcultures who look at it differently, who don't understand the developmental damage that this does to kids. And because it's in my book, it's open. I was married at 16 and I was groomed at 15 and I went along with it. And at the time, I thought I was an adult. I look back at those wedding pictures now and I'm a baby-faced kid. I was a child. But the person in that situation just doesn't realize it. And the pastor validated the marriage, even though the man was 25. And this was clearly not psychologically healthy. And I was a needy kid. And there were so many things about this courtship that should have been red flags to my parents, you know, that people still in this day and time just don't get it.
We've got a comment. Is it Sir Thriver? It says, why knock Megan? She didn't say it's okay. She said it's not pedophilia, just as your guest is saying. What do we say to that? What's our thought?
I'm not knocking Megan Kelly. I'm pointing out the statement that she made twice.
Correct. In a row.
I'm not knocking her. I am pointing it out and I'm saying this seems like someone, it's normalizing something that's not normal.
Right.
And if that's not what her intent was, then I think she should walk it back and say, look, I misspoke. It came out and I'll believe her. I don't think she's, you know, pro pedophilia or anything like that. But our words matter. And if it means nothing and it was a misspeaking, then it's a misspeaking. Okay.
But it's been, a week,
but
week and
2 days
It's been
more than
now?
A week. It was doubled down on. It was just, I was weird. It was weird.
A
15-year-old is not okay. So I don't, anybody who's going to, why are you knocking? I'm not knocking. It's not normal. And it's okay to point that out.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to point that shit out.
Thank you for
not saying she's
that.
A horrible person. Not saying, just saying that's not an okay thing to say. So walk it back. That's all.
Thanks, Tony.
Yeah. So it's weird. It's weird seeing the rationalizing and the place that we've gotten into in this country on this topic and where it's heading. What else do we have in the comments right now?
Let's see. Gen Z 367 says, I'm wondering what hold Epstein had on the people that were invited to his home with the young girls. If those people got there and then realized this is wrong and had a really bad situation, what were the consequences for that person with Epstein? I think Robin had covered that they, just by walking into those situations, now they were under the thumb. There was no mm-hmm. way for them to back out, and control was had at this yeah. point. So it turns into a whole power struggle that once you walk into these situations, you can't get out of it. Now you are guilty. You are there. You are part yeah. of this. They're recording it. They've got evidence that you're there. You're screwed. So
I want to talk more, Siobhan, about, you know, your experience too. And this is her book, Nightbird. It's out right now, wherever you get books, and goes into your experiences, you know, in great detail of being, you know, at that age, because what people are so coldly, the way they're looking at so many of the survivors and the victims, and you hear, well, you know, she all the excuses, she should have done this, she should have done that, she should have been this, she should have been that, and it's you know, a lot of blaming them for being in the scenarios that they're in. But when you're in that sort of an environment where everyone around you is saying this is normal, and they're older than you, and they're adults, and they're the people that, you know, should be, you know, hopefully having your best interest at heart. It's nearly impossible to see mm-hmm. how strange things may be unless you get out of that cage, especially when religiosity is mixed into mm-hmm. it mm-hmm. as well. Can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, somebody who reviewed my book recently used a term that I thought was very apt, and it certainly fits for these girls. And Virginia Giuffre went into yeah. it in great detail in her most excellent book. Affectionately dehydrated. And I think when you come from a childhood, whether you have that kind of abuse or not that she experienced, I did not as a kid, but when you don't feel loved and you don't feel cared for and people really aren't connected to you and supportive of you, you grow up as a young person desperate for that sip of water, right? You're mm-hmm. dehydrated, and somebody comes along and pays you attention. And even if they're using you or abusing you, that attention is overwhelmingly wonderful. And you become very trauma bonded to them. You develop loyalty toward them. You feel like they love you. You feel like you love them. And you don't realize that you deserve better than what's happening to you. You don't have a radar for, you know, this is wrong. I need to get out of this. They don't realize it. And this may be for many the first time that they feel cared for. And it's you know, the way that a deprived child has this sense of self that they're not worth more. And then they get attention. If they're getting attention for their sexuality, for their bodies, they just feel like, well, that's what I'm worth. And that's what's there for. And then in my case, you combine the religiosity with this is what God wants. And you're, mm-hmm. you know, you've been raised to follow the Bible and this is what God wants. And I'm told that God has given messages and the pastor is supportive of this. That's another layer to it.
Yeah. So you're feeling in your gut that this isn't right, but there's nothing you can do about it because your environment says this is exactly as it should be.
And I think for me and for many of them, they don't even have that radar in their gut that says this isn't right. What they're experiencing in their gut is, this is the first time I felt important. This is the first time I felt valued. And so it feels very wrong. And I always tell people, the advice, listen to your gut, is sometimes good, but sometimes your gut can leave you astray depending on how your gut developed.
Interesting.
What we've been seeing with this, and what we've been seeing with various people telling their stories, saying that they've been victims of Epstein, one of the big questions that people are asking is, why don't these individuals name the perpetrators, especially if we're going to see them blocked out? And obviously there's legal reasons for that, because they'd like to not, you know, go bankrupt and be sued 800 ways to Tuesday if you, because this is a very hard thing to prove. This is a very hard thing to document. And the other question, the other thought I had on that is, do they know they're perpetrators? You know, or, you know, if you're on Epstein Island or wherever you were, they weren't all there. They were in his Howe homes. They were all over the place. I do wonder, you know, a lot of these, you know, young women, did they even know who some of these people were, if they were coming and going? Obviously, Virginia Giuffre did know some of them. But, you know, some, I do wonder if the scale as to which it appears he was running this thing, if there's just so many people that came that, you know, they weren't celebrities, they weren't of note, they had money and they had power. But unless you're a celebrity and you're a 15-year-old girl, you're probably not going to know who the people, every person is.
Yeah, 100%. I think both of those things are true. They've probably been advised for legal reasons to not start name dropping at this point. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what all the consequences for that could be, but certainly, yeah, having a lawsuit against you could be very scary. And then, yeah, being in that situation where it's one man after another, multiple men, and they don't know who these people are, certainly very likely for some of them.
An interesting comment that just came in. Jacqueline said, I was groomed and molested as a minor. I have never had a long-lasting and fully healthy relationship. I'm in my 40s. No matter how hard I try to, with the knowledge that I don't need to correct my past. This is a lifelong journey for these people. This mm-hmm. is never going to go away. This, mm-hmm. My heart goes out to people dealing with this. And a lot of them are in our chat section right now. Mm-hmm. These are people who have dealt with this, who've been around this. It's coming to the forefront now. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, the thing that's good about this is if they feel, you know what, I'm not the only one. I'm not alone here. And as I tell everybody that I've met who has this kind of history, hold hope. Healing happens. It's not linear. It's not quick. It can take a lifetime to unpack all of it. But I think every decade, people show a lot of improvement and a lot of growth. And I mean, it doesn't mean it takes a decade for change to happen. But it's developmental in nature. As we get older, we get more insight. We are able to do a better job with putting it in perspective, forgiving ourselves for errors in judgment that we had because we were young and we didn't know better. And it's something I think that most people can eventually gain a sense of peace and healing and come to a place where they no longer feel tainted by it. But it definitely affects our core being. It's not an easy path.
I'm going to imagine when this comes out and if there's names that are in there that we haven't heard yet, predators, you know, they don't they're not always, I guess, going to the same source for what they're getting. This is examining one of those sources. This is examining the Epstein area of where these predators got what they were looking for through him. I'm going to guess this is going to expose a lot of other networks too, that there's going to be other people who are going to, you know, suddenly, you know, okay, well, they're getting this over here. Where else are they getting it as they travel in their packs? Where else are they finding this type of material, these type of people that are willing to and are, you know, in operation of things like this, of networks? I would imagine that there's a lot of collateral damage beyond Jeffrey Epstein that we're about to see when these massive terabytes of data come out. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I hope so. I hope that we can have the blinders off as a culture, as a country, that we need to protect children, boys and girls, And we can't validate people who are exploitive, who are predators. And we need to, everybody needs to talk. Everybody needs to open up about what they know when particularly these powerful people are involved and people cover it up for them, because it's all the enablers who are at fault as well.
And I think it's important too, to look at it and, because what we're going to, I think we're going to see people, and we're going to see accounts of people when they were younger. And we're, some of these people are going to be old men now.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to remember, old men are still just as dangerous as the younger men. We see it in so many cases where creepy predator who's 70 something, who's 80 something, preying on kids, they still do it. So I think we're going to have to resist that urge a little bit too, of like, oh, well, they're old.
It's just grandpa. It's just grandpa.
And,
And here's a weird thought for you. It happens in nursing homes with elderly people, where women in nursing homes who have dementia are sexually victimized by other old men in the nursing home. And those cases are rather horrifying. How would you like knowing grandma's being assaulted every night in her nursing home? I mean, old people who are predators are still predators.
It's something that doesn't change in people. If that's what you are, that's what you are. That's why I wish we could just eliminate them. But we don't. And they will prey until the day they die. It's going to be very fascinating. Siobhan Scott, thank you for being on and talking about this as we're on the verge of all this coming out. Nightbird is her book. You can get it wherever books are sold. It's her memoir and very worth a read. All right. Until next time, for Todd, for Stacy, for Siobhan, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.